associates. That does speak how I expressed my feelings when I wasn't expecting that phone call and it was someone trying to sell me life insurance or something. Those feelings come out. And I believe that's where Jesus wants us to become as little children, be teachable, takes his truth from his word and apply them daily to our life, that we do respond properly at those times. And as I thought of this, I thought of the scripture there in Luke chapter 10. You can turn to Luke 10. Jesus had numerous personalities he talked about here. We know this is about the Good Samaritan. Like, it's a handful of characters here. We have Jesus, who had a love for all people. He had a deep, caring heart. He had this lawyer here who was willing to justify himself. He was tempting Jesus. We had this priest and Levite who were so-called good church-going people. Then we had the Samaritan and the keeper. All individuals who had an opportunity to respond to the circumstances at hand. Like I said, so often we focus on the Good Samaritan here. And I think that's good and right to, as children, listen to this account time and time again, and as we as parents are maybe reminded sometimes from our children that maybe we weren't as kind as we should have been. This thought of Good Samaritan has inspired many around the world to show kindness and mercy to the poor, on the poor, the needy, and the stranger. I think every time we travel, this passage goes through my mind. Normally we travel with deadlines, but every one of those deadlines, we're reminded of a car stranded beside the road, four ways on. What do you do? I know we can't help them all. I know that, and you know that as well. But we're so busy, but do we have time for the needy? We know taking time for the poor and the stranger is not natural to any one of us. Even though we're like this lawyer, we can quote scripture, like in verse 27. We can say the right thing. And we're a part of a religious group in our community. Our neighbors know us as people that go to Blue Ridge, and they know we're here. But do they see us like the priest and the Levite? Or is our interest in others, others people's matters, others things? And do they see us take an opportunity to do what is right? We have these needs right in front of us at times. Do they see us being sensitive and aware to them? This morning, I trust we are doing a lot in the community and helping those around us. I believe there's a little card back here on the bulletin board this morning. It came in the mail about the chorus of when the community was invited to listen to the songs and the meal. It blessed that individual's life. Take time to read that. It was an inspiration to her. We were more than just the church at Blue Ridge, the Mennonite group how the community grades or interprets our lifestyle so often, kind of secluded by themselves. But it was an invitation to those around us. And that's what we need to be, a helping hand and inspiring those beside us. There's a lot has changed since this parable. I didn't look how many years back this was, or try to figure that out. But there's a lot that has stayed the same. We are surrounded with temptations. There's misunderstandings, there's mistrust, there's conflict, there's hatred. That's all in these verses here. But there's also love and mercy. The first five words there, we can find support for. And there's associates that will stand with us. But it leaves one feeling lonely and empty. And in Sunday school lesson there, it talked about how a selfish life, self-centered focus, someone mentioned that, how that leaves one. And that's what these things that hasn't changed, this temptations, misunderstanding, leaves one feeling lonely and empty. And that's where the lawyer and the priest were, and the Levite were. They were lonely and empty. They had nothing to offer. They were influenced by somebody. And they made deliberate choices to be who they were. We as parents have an opportunity to teach another generation how they ought to be. What kind of example am I? Am I that good Samaritan that has time for the needs, the hurting, and those that need help? But this Samaritan, I don't know what his parents were, but he chose to show love and mercy. We as a lawyer are well aware of Jesus' teaching. Many of us don't remember the first time we heard this. It might have been through a Bible story book, a story that was read, school experiences, the knowledge we have from childhood. But that there's times we're tempted to justify ourselves, just like this lawyer did. So who will I identify with? The lawyer who lived a good life and wanted to do, I'm moving on into the different individuals here. So who will they identify with? The lawyer, for one, he was living a good, upright life, or so he thought. And he tempted Jesus with those words. But it seems that he wanted to do the bare minimum to get to heaven. And Jesus knew his heart just as well as he knows yours and your heart and mine. The priest and the Levite, who thought their religious ranks were superior to the present need, they were on a mission. They had important things to do that day. They may have been heading to the synagogue. But the present need wasn't even at all on their focus. Then we see the Samaritan, who was simply the hands and feet of Jesus. It spoke to the crowd that day. It spoke to the lawyer as well. Let's read the passage at this time. We're going to begin in verse 25 and read through verse 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his garments, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, had passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest was the neighbor of him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. These verses were read many a time, but the inspiration that we receive each time we read them, I believe, should prompt us to keep an open eye and listening ear for the hurting, for the unfortunate. Be willing to spend and be spent for their cause. We see the Samaritan was simply doing what he felt was his duty. We know the Samaritan, the way he responded, runs contrary to our human carnal nature, thinking of others better than ourselves. Like I said, we have schedules to meet. We have things that we prioritize. And then there's those things that are urgent. We got to do them. We can't. They have to get done. But so often in times, Jesus might drop something right into our life when it becomes a need. And those things that were on our schedule might not mean too much anymore. But this is what society is. The world is full of these people who their schedules have been changed. God has allowed their schedule to be totally revamped. And he might give you the opportunity to be that Samaritan. Same way, like I said earlier, the same way that Jesus knew the lawyer's life. He knows your life and mine. He knows what we can handle. He knows what we can do. He's looking for willing servants to fill that spot, to be that reflector of his love to these people. But the challenge is, will you and I allow him to speak into our lives? We know we live in a world of free choice. And I'm not responsible for your actions, and you're not responsible for mine. But am I taking the opportunity, making deliberate, having that thought life of being spontaneous with my choices and making it a better place for those around me? Or is it all about me? This poor beat up man was probably went unnoticed by many. And I know it's a parable. But as people walk by, Jesus chose to look at three people. These priests and Levite, I do believe they were important people in their community. And they were endeavoring to do what was right. But they also thought that they deserved something better. They had been influenced by leaders, maybe, to act this way. We know that the Jewish law talked about touching blood and a dead corpse. I'm not sure if the priest thought he was dead, but that would have made him unclean, and he would have to do that ceremonial cleansing, and maybe that was too big of a deal for him. But who taught that? So how's, again, we as parents, how are we teaching our children? Are we better than average? Or do we have the time to spend with the needy? Jesus wasn't addressing some new theory here in this to this lawyer. He was very familiar with the law. He was a student of the law, so he knew what Deuteronomy 6:5 said in Leviticus 19:8. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And there are similar scriptures throughout the Bible. Matthew 5, we know the Sermon on the Mount, how we're to love our enemies, to bless them that curse you. Galatians 5:14 and Galatians 6:10 are some more verses. Galatians 6:10, I always loved. It says, therefore, as ye have opportunity, let us do good to all. And I believe that's where children take scripture verses at face value and simply live them. And that's where we as parents need to be that example. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all. So what is motivating me and you this morning? As we go through our daily routine, is it the love for others? So I like to look at a few areas here of where I believe the Good Samaritan outshone, you might say, the Levite. First of all, I believe he understood that his love has no boundaries. When you think of boundaries, or when I think of boundaries, we think of limits. You can go so far and then you stop. We used to have a dog, invisible dog fence around our property. And that was a boundary. As long as the dog stayed within that boundary, everything was all right. But what kind of love did the master have for the dog when he was over here? But the Samaritan's love had no boundaries. He looked at all men, I guess as needy, willing to offer, willing to be extended. When you also think of boundaries, we think of the nation. We have lines in the south where there's a big wall. It's a boundary. But when those Latinos are here in our village or our county, do we view them different than if they would be on the other side of the wall? Or when there's OFJ, it's a great thing to go witness to these people and help them. But when they're in our own community, we see them as different. I believe that's where the Samaritan, he viewed all people as being help and doing good to all. He didn't only extend love to his own ethnic group, as the priest and the Levite did. He was willing to stoop down and help someone who possibly hated him and his culture. We're familiar with how Jesus reminded of the nation, or I shouldn't say Jesus did, he came in contact with the woman there at the well. And he was well aware of how the two groups didn't favor each other. The Jews looked at the Samaritan people as outcasts, a little bit below societies. And as Jesus was talking to her, she wondered why he would ever even sit down and talk to her. Because he was a Galilean. And as he spoke to her, she realized that he had her best interest in mind. And we know how she tried to derail his thoughts different times, but he kept coming back to her. And she felt his sincere love and care for her. Is that how those around me, do they feel that genuine love, that love has no boundaries as I relate to them? Or do they feel that I have something better to do than be there at the moment? This morning, I don't care what kind of documents we have or what kind of creed, who we say we are or what we're about. Going the second mile, like it says in verse 34 and 35, this Good Samaritan overextended himself, used his supplies, gave away 2 days' wages, probably the very little he had. It said he sat him upon his own beast. I imagine it was probably just a donkey. And somewhere in this service, I heard that the donkey was a sign of lowliness, and it was a common thing. And I believe that's what this man was. He didn't have much, but he was willing to be used, willing to extend himself for his neighbor. So this morning, who is your neighbor? Or maybe we should say, how can I be a neighbor? In verse 27, is self-love taught here? It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We know this. Our world is full of this teaching. Do good to yourself. Take care of yourself. But Scripture teaches that love is always going an outgoing interest for others, and not a self-centered focus. The priest and Levite had a self-centered focus. They were concerned how this man might complicate their life and their schedule. And how natural that is for some of us at times. To see the complications and what it might cost us. And we fail to see that we have a self-centered love. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with trying to improve oneself. And keeping and watching out for making sure we don't make a wreck out of oneself. But if that's our only focus, we need to pick up God's word and see what we can do in order to get our life in tune with the word. Because we dare not become so self-focused that's all we see. We need to be helping others in their journey from earth to glory. Not only like the lawyer, making sure he got there himself. Earlier in this chapter, in verse 23, Jesus condemned the religious leaders of that day and said, they ignored the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. As we think of the laws of the land and society at large, are we embracing their standard of living or looking to them to allowing them to make the outlines for our life? When I was thinking of that thought, I was thinking of all the, no one wants to go back the last 2 years and undo or try to figure out what man did wrong or what the laws did wrong as far as COVID goes. But do I let self stand in my way in helping our neighbors? There was many rules. There were people who were fearful through COVID to have, some people have hung on to those fears. Just recently I was somewhere and there's people still dressed in masks and I feel sorry for them. Maybe they had other issues. I shouldn't be, drew an opinion on them. But let's not let self stand in the way in helping and meeting the needs of those around us. There are hurting, dying people. There are people who are open and looking for someone to walk with them. Let's be those people. So who are you this morning? This morning we are. Who we are is not defined by what we. Who we are is defined by what we do. These three characters, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, were possibly all part of the religious group, and they hold a certain title, maybe in their neighborhood. But God, Jesus gave credit to the Samaritan for acting. He reached out. He helped. He extended himself. This is what is righteousness, not the title. So this morning, no matter what your name is, no matter where you're from, we have responsibility to reach out, to help, to hold, to handle the word of God, to share it out of the true heart of love where there's no limits. 1 Corinthians 13:1, so we think about how we can have the proper words to say and we can talk so well, but it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, just that annoying little echo. But as we act, 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is a verse that requires action. James 2:16 is a reminder how empty words are without actions. Depart in peace, be warmed and filled. It's easy to drive by those people that are stranded beside the road. And most people, maybe I'm expressing my own mind here, we can so easy, or I can so easy think, well, they probably have a cell phone, which they probably do. Many people have cell phones. But the thought of being warmed and filled and continue on my way. But those people with a phone might not have a friend. They possibly might not have family to care for them. God wants to use you and I in those moments. This morning, it's our action that express God's love to the world around us. And if we don't see any opportunities, or if maybe life's too busy and you're failing to see them, I should say, we need to stop and ask God for those opportunities where we can be to meet the needs of those around us. If we listen, we'll hear. So this morning, how well do you know your neighbor? Or how well do your neighbors know you? The lonely folks, the health needs, the troubled people, they're there in our community. Can they rely on you and I this week to be the hands and feet of Jesus, the listening ear? Feel the warmth that radiates from your life. Again, God bless you as you go this week. Remember that we will contact many people this week. As we go through the week, that they might only get a phrase of the conversation. They might only see a small glimpse of our reaction. But God help it that it be the warmth of Jesus that shines through them and inspires them to continue on. Let's kneel for prayer.